G'day, Ronnie. It's Annie McLaughlin here from 3CR. We were going to have a chat about your film, Streets of Colour.
Hi, Annie, how are you?
Okay, I've been looking up about Streets of Colour. It sounds like a quite an amazing affair. How did you get this film off the ground?
It's always something that I guess I wanted to share as a story. I grew up myself in the western suburbs of Sydney, having suffered at the hands of a lot of racism when I was a kid and into my teenage years. But it wasn't until in my early adult life, in my maybe it was my early 30s, I had an encounter with a younger teenager who was abusing me with these really strong and offending racial slurs. And I just thought, I think racism still exists, because I thought maybe that the racism that I did sort of experience when I was younger, maybe it was because I was a child, or adolescence, you got raging hormones and those sort of things. So maybe things felt like at the time they were a little bit more exaggerated. It wasn't until that moment I knew that there was a story to tell here, that all those traumatic experiences that I had as a kid being bullied for being different, there was a story to tell there. And I thought I could probably help other people sort of embrace their culture and their self-identity and just start a conversation about the racial sort of experiences that I had.
Well, this is a feature, and it's set in the western suburbs of Sydney. It's really contemporary, and it's really happening now. So writing it must have been quite a challenge, because you're creating a feature, bringing your audience along with you, as well as being authentic.
It's really personal, so it's always really hard to sort of to tell your personal story, because all your vulnerabilities are up there on the screen, because it is loosely based on my experiences. But at the same time, I use creative license to sort of build a more exciting sort of film, so that I could package those really important social issue themes within a film. The challenge wasn't so much writing the film; it was, because it flowed really naturally, and it evolved into, I thought I was writing one film, but it turned into something else. But the challenge was actually getting the film off the ground. That was probably the hardest part, and trying to get funding and go through those sort of avenues.
Why was that? Was that because it was about something that was contemporary and also very working class and very culturally confronting? Or, because you've had a lot of experience making films, haven't you?
I've been doing this for about 25 years, but I haven't really had the opportunities to sort of catapult my career to the next level. And it was always about making a calling card at the same time, even though I wanted to confront all these issues. And it was almost like every filmmaker will probably tell you this, that it's almost therapeutic, or like therapy, to make a film about your life in this way. But there was a lot of roadblocks in making a film like this, whether it's political or not. I'm yet to sort of to know, but what I do know, and what I've felt and experienced, is there is still systemic racism in terms of not letting certain people, have opportunities. And I've tried to get government funding for many, many years, and I've been rejected every single time. It's a lot better these days, and things are progressing. But I mean, I ticked all the boxes that were required for government funding, and some of those boxes are stuff like, are you from a diverse background? Are you from Western Sydney? That was very specific in some of the eligibility criteria when you do apply for funding. And I ticked all the boxes: minority groups, all the above. We had all that in our team, and yet we still couldn't get anything. And we thought, yeah, like you've said, like, it's a contemporary story. It's a glimpse into Western Sydney, which is rarely seen on screen. You don't really get to see films like this, and it's almost like a window into something that you've never experienced before. And I can't say why we didn't get the opportunities that we did, but we got it done. We had to pull in a lot of favors. I had to put money for my own mortgage, friends invested, and some private investors, and we got across the line.
Oh well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and I know that you've got some pretty interesting actors, because a film like this actually gives opportunities for everybody, doesn't it? From the diverse groups.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people always ask me, like, oh, yeah, you've made a really diverse film. But I didn't set out to make a film because of diversity, because it's something that's at the forefront of everyone's sort of conversations now,
Yeah,
especially when
at
it
the
comes
moment, yeah.
to making. Yeah, but that's how I grew up. This is very authentic and very truthful. We grew up with many nationalities. I mean, I could count about 70 different nationalities that I grew up with going to high school. So when writing the story, it wasn't about ticking boxes or trying to include all different diverse characters. It was, we haven't seen this done before, so I'm going to do it because it's authentic and this is how I grew up. We grew up with a guy who was from, the islands or someone that was African or Middle Eastern. It was just a big melting pot of different nationalities and languages and cultures, and I wanted to see that. And I know a lot of people who grew up in Western Sydney, or just in Sydney in general, from a migrant background, they would want to see these sort of stories.
The lead, your lead,
Yes. Rahel Roman.
Rahman, yeah. He was in a film that I saw that was out west,
Here out west.
Here Out West, which is also a
Yeah.
very interesting film. So obviously there's a real push towards bringing real stories to the screen, just like Streets of Colour. So how did you get him as your lead?
So I've known Rahel for about 15 years. He's actually saying 15. He's 15 years my junior as well. So he's from a different generation than myself. But I met him at a film school back in, say, 2006. And at the time, he was a 13-year-old kid. I was, an adult. I could see that he was very intelligent in terms of his acting. I could see something that was beyond his years. You could see that he lived and breathed to be an actor. And yet at that point, he hadn't had any experience whatsoever. He hadn't even done anything on the screen. He was just basically at a film course that we were doing. And I knew that one day that I'd probably work with him because I could see something so unique and so intelligent about him that I thought, this guy's got something to say, And him being from a Middle Eastern background himself and having dealt with a lot of the same social issues that we portray in Streets of Colour, it just made sense. So when I was writing the script, it took me 3 years to finish the screenplay. I knew I could kept seeing his face, and even though I hadn't spoken to him for a while during that period, I didn't tell him that I was writing it. I delivered the screenplay to him. He loved it and thought, "Yes, let's do this. This is great," But I did open up the casting a little bit wide to see if there was anyone else that could, be captivating in that role. And unfortunately, we did get a few good actors, but there was nothing exceptional like what he brought to the film.
Now, because this is your story, not your story, but I'm an amalgam of things from your
Correct.
past
Yeah, I would say
experience.
it's loosely based and inspired by, if it didn't happen to me, it happened around me,
On one level, you might say it's a gangster film in some ways, is it? Or is it a very
Yeah, well,
male-oriented film?
it's interesting that you use that word gangster because I mean the younger crowd would probably see it or sort of categorize it as that. But that's look at what I was saying earlier. I tried to make a film that was dramatic and also spoke of the social issues that I grew up with, which is self-identity. Like the main character, he changes his hair color. He tries to be blonde. He tries to put blue eyes in just to be like an Australian because we wanted to assimilate. We wanted to be like everyone else because we kept getting vilified for the way we did look and because of our skin color and our culture and our language and all that sort of stuff. So I said to myself, how do I deliver a story that's not going to be slow paced? It's not going to be all about social issues and a message and all that sort of stuff, and make it entertaining at the same time. So using creative license, I made it look like a gangster film, right? It's packaged as that way, but it's also got these really powerful, emotional, dramatic storylines, which covers things from, culture to like racism, to family, even friendship, and spirituality as well. So it's there's a lot of themes there that we sort of try to touch on, but we've dressed it up so we could entice the younger generation to go, hey, this looks like a really cool gangster movie, as you put it. Let's go and watch it. But at the same time, they're getting all these social issue messages baked in, and it's done very subtly, and it's done very naturally and organically too.
Well, actually, it's about a person's life and him grappling with he like you say, his self-identity and loss.
Yes.
And it's a redemption film, isn't it?
Correct. It's all about redemption because I find that even though it took me 7 years to make this film, I've been finding in the last, say, 3 to 4 years, a lot of films end on a bad note and they feel very depressing. And as much as this film is very dramatic throughout the whole film, we had a cast and crew screening last, I think last July, and people coming out and they were in tears. I mean, I knew I'd wanted to make an emotional film that affected people, but I didn't realize it was going to affect people to the level that people were telling me after the screening. Like, they said, I cried three times throughout the film. I was like a big blubbering mess. So even though it looks like a gangster film, you're going to walk away. It's going to be a memorable film, and it's going to be very touching and unforgettable.
Well, you know, the when I say gangster, I mean when we're talking about that, that's really just a vehicle, because people live
Sure.
lives that are on the edge,
That's right.
and as young people trying to make their way in a world, if you're not actually part of the mainstream, then you're going to have to find a be part of the economy that's you know, the dark economy, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, just giving you an example. I mean, my wife is 8 years younger than me. She grew up in the actual suburb of Mount Druitt. I grew up not far from there myself, so in the same surrounding suburbs within minutes. And everything that she's seen in the film, she never experienced to her whole life. And her father was a police officer. He didn't even come across a lot of the stuff that was happening in the underworld, I guess, of the suburbs. You know, so that just goes to show there is the separate side of the tracks, if you like. You know, I had people commenting on some of the Facebook posts saying, I grew up in Mount Druitt and never experienced any of this stuff. And I said, like, lucky you didn't experience any of this stuff, because we did, you know. And yet you come from the same suburbs, yet you're saying there's drive-bys that happen. Yes, they do happen. I mean, they came on the news. And you know, funnily enough, you know how they say art imitates life, or life imitating art. After we had shot what you see in the clip, where you know a racist street fight happens, and unfortunately somebody dies in that street fight, somebody actually was stabbed in the same location that we filmed that scene in. But it wasn't racially motivated. It was some other thing. But it was in exactly the same spot. And I heard that 2 years after we filmed, and I went, wow, that's really strange. You know, what I've done in the film too, I've put a spotlight on the good, the bad, and the ugly, because most of the time the media have demonized, you know, Western Sydney as being, you know, an area that's low socioeconomic. It's grappled with violence and drugs and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, we grew up in that area with working class parents. A lot of us, all my friends, we all succeeded through coming out of these areas. All my friends have gone off to be quite wealthy and have businesses and all that sort of stuff. So it doesn't matter where you come from, and that's the core message of the story too, that it doesn't matter what challenges and adversities and what suburbs you grow up in. It's how you navigate your life, and sometimes it's the people that help you in the background, behind the scenes, that sort of get you to where you need to go. And that's why the film is full of hope and redemption.
So it's actually about time that, and it's great that filmmakers like you are actually able to get stories like this up. You've got a world premiere effectively on the 26th of June. Is it coming
That's right.
to other parts of the country?
Be shown in a limited release in the theatrical window first. So we're having to do a few suburbs of Western Sydney after the big world premiere, and then we're taking it, I believe, to Melbourne for a few screenings over there, and then I think Brisbane will be after that. And then I guess between now and then, there probably might be more screenings if all goes well and it's received well, and there seems to be a demographic and an audience for it.